Boas-vindas ao podcast Líder de Elite. Aqui é Carlos Oi, o seu anfitrião. Neste podcast você tem acesso à liderança de classe mundial através de conteúdos e entrevistas exclusivas com líderes, executivos, influenciadores, best-sellers e especialistas. Acesse o site liderdeelite.com/podcast para ter mais informações e baixar conteúdos gratuitos.
This is our second international interview, and you're going for a real treat. So welcome to the podcast Planeta, the elite leadership podcast that's based in Brazil. And this is another episode of our international series. My name is Carlos Hoyos. I'm a business executive coach, and I'm your host for this event. Our purpose is to bring outstanding content and amazing guests so you can enhance your leadership skills and grow your business here in Brazil and everywhere in the world. Today, I'm really happy we can talk to an amazing human being. I had the privilege to meet Phil and train the trainer event and incentive back in Portugal in 2016. So it was a really amazing event. Phil was presenting there and we really connected there and kept this relationship. And that's one of the things that I learned with the network. It's important with the network in a professional way, in a business way, that we have to keep, you know, the relationship that really matter and relevant. So let me talk a little bit about a few, and I'm going to bring him live so he can introduce himself in the typical way we do. So Phil Badfor has a Bachelor of Engineering with honors and a master's degree in European Construction Engineering. He is an international keynote speaker, certified professional behavioral analyst, ICF certified coach, NLP master practitioner, and has built his career path specifically in the USA, United Kingdom, Dubai, and India, working with hundreds of business owners across multiple industries around the world. Starting in recruitment, before moving into exhibition industry, real estate, entrepreneurial development, and even a kite surfing and Latin dance company. I definitely want to know more about this and with Phil. So he probably have to tell this about this a little bit more. His accomplishment in these different industries can be put down to his skills as a networker. Phil is a New York Times bestseller, also the founder and host of Rebel Networker TV. In his spare time, he's an avid underwater hockey player and triathlete. So let's bring here our dear friend, Phil Badfort. Welcome, Phil.
You're right. Hey, great to see you, Carlos. Hi, everybody.
Really nice that you're here. I'm really happy. This is really amazing. This is we've been planning this for weeks. And I actually been preparing the environment to bring you like several months before. So I was really happy this, you know, work out our schedules to this. As a tradition, what we do here in the podcast is just you introduce you the way you prefer in your personal side, because, you know, the curriculum, the things that people know, you know, all the achievements, those things are peer, but who's the real Phil? So who's the Phil Badfort by Phil himself? Welcome.
Thank you, Carlos. Yes, hi guys. And yeah, my name is Phil Bedford. I'm known as the Rebel Networker. And ultimately, what I love to do is help people enjoy life now. I firmly believe that people work way too hard, way too long, living other people's lives. And if you're the kind of person that wants to change yours for the positive, I'm there to help you. A lot of people do that through entrepreneurism and starting their own businesses. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter where you started, it's where you want to end up and how you get there that matters. So Carlos, back to you, my friend. And maybe we just bank some questions backwards and forwards and we'll see where we go. So you have some fun.
Awesome, that's pretty sweet. Before we started the transmission, you're starting telling me that, you know, your life was not always flowers, not like we see now, but never always rosy. Things are really different. Things are changed. How you started? How you started your professional life or your career? Or just tell me a little bit more about this side of field that not maybe many people don't know. Most people don't know. How you started?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. I mean, you know, the books at the back kind of help in from a professional perspective. And as you mentioned, you know, I have a master's degree in European construction engineering, which is all very nice. Although, don't tell anyone I hate engineering. I decided years ago I really wasn't going to do this. But the interesting thing, as I was saying to you earlier, when I left school, I actually left school only with a qualification in history, and I think a very low one in biology. And I failed English language, English literature, mathematics, the sciences. And so, you know, I was a little bit of a failure. On the other side, my sister was grade A, number one in the school, went to university. And so I was a bit of a failure. But what I realized was, you know, number one, it wasn't my fault. No one told me that I had to study for my exams. I thought you just had to know it up here and then turn up. And obviously that's not the case. So basically I failed. And I ended up putting myself back through college, washing dishes 5 days a week. And then one day a week I'd go to college to study. So I decided this was the way I was going to try and catch up. And interestingly enough, all the people I was at college with were getting paid to be there. I paid for myself and put myself through washing dishes. So I grew up at 15, 16 years old with three or four jobs every week, and working hard, understanding the value of working hard. My family were not entrepreneurial. My dad was a welder. My mother was a nurse. And my sister was the first person to go to university, even though she was younger than me. So watch out for your younger sisters. They'll overtake you. But no, and that's where I want, Carlos. But again, you know, I was still under the illusion that education was everything. You know, you had to have a degree, you had to have a master's, because that's the way I was brought up. And it wasn't until later in life I discovered, you know, that, and I'm sure you're going to ask me more about this in a minute, that the power of connections, the power of who you are here, the power of your drive, the power of your passion, all of these things far outweigh qualifications when it comes to running your own business. And while there are elements of education that may be important, depending on what you're delivering, it's all this other stuff that they don't teach you. And you know that as well.
Wow, that's amazing. The thing that just crosses my mind when you start telling your story, and I know how much you contribute to your clients and the networking society in Dubai and India and around the world, because, you know, I met you in a training occasion. You were training me and dozens of other people from around the world. And I know that everything is a process. It's just not a single event. But you went after education, but you went after self-development. But the kind of training that you underwent yourself. So would you say that you have some special events that were kind of turning points for you that actually make you the loop, or was just like a steady, systematic, structured way of next step?
There was definitely a number of pivotal points. And you're really getting me to dig in my brain here. Anyone that's listening, he did not warn me about this. He's making me think. There was definitely a number of pivotal points going back, and probably too many to think of. Interestingly, nearly every pivotal point has been involved around people or opportunities. I remember one when I was 18. And I was quite an introverted, quite a shy kid. And I got the opportunity, or someone told me about this thing called Camp America. Camp America is, you know, they get students from the UK to go to America and they work for the summer on the holiday camps. And the idea is they pay you like $100. They pay you nothing. But the point is they pay for your flight, pay for your accommodation, and you get an experience. And I remember at 18 years old, just applying for this, never thinking I'd get it. And suddenly they're telling me I'm off to America. And I was pretty shy, didn't have much of a background. And I suddenly end up in America on this summer camp. And then after America, traveling around America, hitchhiking on buses, sleeping in bus terminals, anywhere that was cheap. And I just remember, I remember that as very pivotal. Just trying to break the norm, break the cycle of college, because I was at college. I think the other one was a number of years later when I was actually working in recruitment in a place called Bristol. And it's very much what we call dead man's boots. There's nowhere to go unless the boss above you goes, wherever that is. I've been in recruitment for 5 years. And I remember I had a girlfriend, lovely girl. I had a job which paid well. I felt professional, but unfulfilled. And I went on holiday to Dubai to see an old friend of mine who was an air hostess here. And she already had a life, had a boyfriend, everything, but I came out on holiday. And while I was here, I decided to go desert driving, you know, in the big dunes. So I was in a Jeep. But when we finished with the desert driving, I got talking to a guy. And what they do in the desert is they let the tires down when they want to go on the sand so they don't sink. And afterwards, obviously, pump them up. So we were pumping up the tires and this guy started to talk to me. And he was from a similar place to me in the UK. And he basically said, oh, you're on holiday. I said, yeah. He said, come and have a look at my business. Come and see what I do. And this was an exhibition stand business. And I remember going along, seeing it, not thinking much more of it. And then when I returned to the UK a couple of days later, he chased me up and offered me a job in Dubai. And I remember at the time thinking, I've got a job, I've got a girlfriend, I love the UK, I'm playing underwater hockey, I'm rowing, I love my life, but I'm bored. And I just thought, this would be so cool if I could go and live in Dubai. And when everyone asked me, where do you live? I was going, Dubai. And so I just quit everything, flew to Dubai and started my new job. And I remember my old boss put me up in his villa because he wasn't in the country at the time. And I remember getting up on the morning on my first day, getting up because I was in bed, walking to the door on the inside of the bedroom, opening the door, and the heat just smacked me in the face. And I was like, oh my God, where am I? And then I realized that when I went into the office on the first day, I realized what they were going to pay me and realized that I didn't do the conversion rate from pounds to dirhams and found out I was on a very, very bad wage. And so pretty much immediately I started teaching salsa to supplement my income. And that really started my journey into entrepreneurship because I just didn't do my calculations. But I think those are two pivotal moments that jump in my head. And both of them were just doing things that were way outside my comfort zone. But I think I kind of thought, wouldn't it be cool if one day I can turn around and say I did that? So I think those were two of the most pivotal points, I think. Just doing something that looked really cool and actually not even really considering the implications of doing it. Just doing it.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool. I mean, you went with the guts and with inspiration and the passion and probably we wouldn't be here if you hadn't decided that way, even if you did the calculations. But we're here to talk about the deadly sins of the startup, right? So you have a book that's amazing, The 7 Deadly Startup Sins. And I have my business almost 8 years now.
8 years?
Yes, almost 8 years. And it was interesting because I saw some of the reviews and some of the recommendations books on the book. And one of them was just like, I should be the one writing exactly the same thing. I wish I had read this book when I was starting my business. And that was the real thing. And you know, and I know, and whoever has a business know the difficulty that is keeping up the business and make it grow, to make it scale and make it, you know, work by itself without having to put, you know, 10, 12, 15, 20 hours a day and make the things happen. So, and I know that you're launching also a training on the 7 Deadly Startup Sins. So tell us a little bit more about what are these deadly sins of startups?
Oh my gosh. Well, without listing them all, which I think would just be a show in itself, I'm pretty mad at me because then you wouldn't buy the course or the book. Let me sort of give you a rounding of it because there is a common thread to a lot of this. So firstly, all the people I've worked with over the years tend to be small business owners, and there's a variety. But I honestly expected to see so many different mistakes people were making. But what I found was it really was the same 7 that kept turning up time and time again. And what I decided to do was, you know, really just sort of verbalize this, put it down in writing and bring a load of examples to it. And again, as you go through the book, you'll see they're not the ones you maybe expect to see. You know, if someone never launched a business and you said, why do businesses fail? They probably go, well, nobody wanted to buy anything and you didn't have any money. And those would kind of be maybe the two obvious ones. But there were so many others. And again, it really depends where people are in their new business. What became very obvious to me was, you know, when people start a new business, there's different kinds of new business. And particularly from where I live in the UAE, you know, there's a very high expat population here, a lot of Indians particularly very successful, and obviously a lot of Arabs are very successful, and they have legacy family businesses. And what we find here is there's a lot of people that are doing startups, but when they're doing a startup, well, actually they're just the first new business that their family are doing. So when they start their business, they've got loads of money from the family. They've got loads of advice because the family have done 3, 4, 5 businesses. So maybe their first business, but the support structure and the resource structure they're pulling from is really powerful. So it's not really, it's a startup, but it's not. It's more like the next thing they're doing. What I realized that the people I was working with were people who were, when they're doing a startup, it was like me. It was like my dad. I'm doing a business and it's literally the first time. I'm the first person in my family to do it. I'm funding this from my pocket. I'm funding this from my wife's holiday money and her, and you know, my new shoes and my children's future. I'm funding this from my heart. I don't have a backup plan, you know? And also every single thing I'm doing, it's new. And so startups aren't made differently. And so my book really was singing for the people that are doing it themselves the first time. They've just come out of a corporate. And what I was finding was there was a lot of mistakes that people were making just because they were making assumptions about what business needed to succeed. And one of the core elements to this, I would say, Carlos, if there had to be a common thread through every single sin, the secret is the people you're around. Yeah, if you're around the right people, anything's possible. If you're around the wrong people, it's a lot harder work. And while that's simplifying the book in many ways, I think one of the reasons I'm 13 years in my business now, and this was my first official business. I mean, I dabbled in kite surfing and salsa business in the past, but this was my first thing I went into big style. And so, you know, I'm one of those small percentages that makes it this far. And I have to say, could I say lucky? I think maybe yeah, but at the same time, you make your own luck. If you choose to surround yourself with people who can help you get there because they've been there, done that, and they want to help you, life's a lot easier. But people choose to do it on their own, whether you call it bravado or ego or confidence. You can do it on your own, and a lot of people have. But you have to work a lot harder, you need a lot more money, and you probably need to be a lot more connected in the background. So I think that's just the common thread through this, is people, knowledge and information, all that, again, you get from people.
I love the way you frame this. And I'm having like flashbacks of things that, you know, my company and people that I know that failed and that they're trying again and trying again. And it's so true, all this you're saying. The other component that to me just, it's also, you know, related to people is like with the self, the entrepreneur himself or herself. And I love the thing when you say that you talk about self-care. And this is like so important, because if I'm not well, how am I supposed to help other people? I mean, I'm in the helper business, you know. I help, you know, leader business owners, but I'm focused on leadership and behavioral changes. And if I'm not well, how can I serve other people? And I love this because it's like, if I want to attract the right kind of people to help me, I have to have the right mindset, right frame of mind, and the right health, so I can actually make me an interesting person to attract other people that want to join my cause and want to help me. And the other thing that I found it really interesting in this concept is, you mentioned briefly here, is just like, you have to ask for help because it's cheaper, it's easier, it's like investment in the future. And I don't know if it would be okay, but you know, what are the major people that you found that really helped you along your journey, those 13 years of business? I know you know a lot of, you know, I don't know how this would translate, but the heavy duty guys, you know, the guys just like really international guys, and they help like yourself now. And if I have the option to choose somebody that's local and somebody international, at least I like to think internationally. I like to think bringing things and knowing from the best, it doesn't matter where they are from and what do they believe. But if I have this knowledge, I want to learn from them. So perhaps, I mean, one or two people that you know that made a difference in your life. No, it's something that we always learn. I think it's in one of your books. It doesn't matter who you know, is how much you know, or what you know about people that you know, right?
There's another one. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And the addition is how well you know them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it is interesting what you say, Carlos. You know, it's, you know, I've been blessed over the years. And by the way, these people that help you don't necessarily just turn up. You have to be humble enough to want to help, have the help, number one. And also make sure that you're giving back to them in any way you can. It doesn't have to be that you're giving them money, but just appreciate it, number one, and do something with it. Let them know how valuable it is. But, you know, no one was ever successful on their own. Ever. And you'd think with a lot of these people standing on stages selling products that they're the only person that ever did it. And if, you know, they did it all on their own because they were so good at doing this, that, and the other. Rubbish. Every single person did not do it on their own ever. They couldn't. It's impossible. But they won't tell you how they got there necessarily. They'll just sell you their product. And so I think it's really important that we share our own success journey so that people can choose to model that or learn from it. And all I would say is over the years, obviously I've had different models. And you know, I like to look for people who are more successful and further than me. And sometimes, you know, when I'm talking to them, I start to sweat. You know, I'm talking to them, I'm like, oh my God, my back's going wet. I'm like, this person is just so scary. I mean, but not scary, horrible, scary, like successful. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I'm actually sitting to talk to this person. And this still happens to me now. And the interesting thing is I can look back at the people that used to do that to me and I've moved on. I've learned, moved on in a different way, whichever way you want to judge that. And so I think we've always got to be looking, we call it networking up. Always look for that next person that you can learn from and contribute to. Remember that you contribute. Some of these people just, like I said, contributing to them is just having a coffee and letting them know they've made a difference, you know. Some of the individuals, oh my gosh, over the years, my sister. You know, my sister, when I was a kid, I was heavily bullied. I had a terrible life. She dragged me to the hairdressers, forced them to cut my hair, took me to a clothing store, said, you will dress this way. And then basically my future started. Suddenly I wasn't a geek anymore. Suddenly I was a relatively good looking kid. And of course, then the confidence came with that. Can't belittle confidence, right? So it really started with my sister. And then of course, you know, sometimes you even have to acknowledge the people who are negative in your life, because the negative people can show you how not to do things if you choose to learn that way. You know, over the years, you know, I've had contributors who I've spent a bit of time with, but, you know, so people like Dr. Ivan Meisner, who you know well, who is very deep in BNI and Ascentive. Obviously, a lot of his work on relationship marketing has been fundamental. That's given me a lot of my knowledge. I was lucky I was already doing it before I met BNI and Ivan, but, you know, again, some of the stuff he's done has come through him, and I know he learned a lot of his stuff through other gurus. Mike Macedonio, you met him. Eddie Dawn in New Orleans, in Lisbon. Again, fantastic people. My wife. I know people say their wife, and they feel like you have to, otherwise you're going to get pulled out. My wife, absolutely. I mean, she's just such a driven person. She shows me how relationships can be as well. You know, she's always giving to other people. Sometimes I think excessively, but then when she wants help or needs help, she has 10 people saying, how can I help? Whereas most of us might have nobody. So I think Carlos, we can all sit there and say 1, 2, 3, 4 people. But I think what we need to realize is we can learn from everybody. Whether it's the guy who's cleaning your building, cleaning the street. You know, I remember years ago, I parked my car. I was teaching salsa at the time, and I was working in an exhibition stand company we talked about before. And I used to park my car in this car park, and then I would park it, go up to teach salsa. Anyway, there was a guy there who used to clean cars, and it wasn't his job. He just did it for 5 dirhams, 10 dirhams. And I remember one time I parked my car, and he put a dirham, which is the monetary thing here in Dubai, put the dirham in the machine to get the ticket, walked over to me and gave me the ticket. Right? I mean, I'd seen him over the couple of months because I was used to wave at him. And he came over, put the money, got the ticket, brought it over to me so I didn't have to walk and get the ticket. And I was just like, that's thinking. So what do? Let him clean my car again. But the point was, this is reciprocity, you know, and it's using reciprocity in a really smart way, because I'm also more likely to have my car cleaned because now I owe him. And I remember he even pushed me, asked me if I knew anyone that was employing jobs, and my company was looking for a driver. I ended up putting him forward to my boss as a potential driver. Fast forward a year later, the guy's the number one driver in the company, and he's happy with his new job. Whereas a year before that, he had no job and he was washing cars. You think I learned from him?
Wow. That's a really mindset of learning with the positive and the negative in every situation, with every person, with every possible encounter. This is really powerful. And we don't see this very often. Of course, in the self-development arena, and you see this, but in general, unfortunately, business owners don't have that mindset. And apart from that, what other skills that you believe, and I know that you talked about this in the book, but in general, that are essential for business owners to be successful? What are core competences or abilities do you believe, apart from, you know, learning networking, because it's, you know, sort of the background here?
I think, and again, there's, you know, for everything I say, there's going to be someone else who did exactly the opposite and succeeded, right? It's just life. But I think what you're looking at is when people do the opposite, they do tend to have more resources, like money, or they work a lot harder, you know? I think learning is a huge one. And I don't mean necessarily sit down and watch courses and do books. That's one way. The other way is just to watch and model people. Find your heroes, see what they're doing. Always find someone that's more successful or better than you and learn from them. And be humble enough to know that you don't know it all. I think the minute we think we know everything, we're already losing money. So one is that constant learning, constant striving. The other one, I know we've talked about networking, but I think that's so powerful. Making sure you're in a community of people that are willing to give and contribute, again, is so powerful. You know, if we choose to step away from that, okay, but that's a choice. You know, you said it yourself, self-care. Now, again, we all, as entrepreneurs, have periods in our life where we work crazy hours, we don't see family, we don't look after ourselves. There's always that time when we have to do that, and that's entrepreneurism. But it can't be all the time, every week, every day, every month, ongoing with no end. That's not good. So, and a lot of people are doing that because they don't know how to structure their time. There's a great example of self-care. And you know when you're on an aeroplane and you're flying, and they give you the safety brief. And they say, when the mask drops in the case of emergency, put the mask over your kid, right? No, they say, put it over yourself. Because if you can't look after yourself, your kid's already in trouble, and so is your. So that's the thing. We've got to learn how to look after ourselves. But as human beings, our first impact is do that. And so we need to, you know, entrepreneurism is not easy. And if we're not healthy here and healthy here, it's so much tougher to have the energy. So I love what you said earlier on about acknowledging that. So I think looking after yourself as well is a huge one. But doing that with not necessarily balance, because that doesn't exist, but some kind of respect for what you've got going on in your life, and learning to schedule your own time for yourself and your family as if it were your best client. Schedule the time for yourself and your family as if it were your best client. And really just get up off your backside and get out there and do what you need to do. No excuses. And I think one of the last ones, my favorite, is learning how to use your calendar. It's really boring. I know. I don't like being told what to do, but calendarize things. Learn to take action immediately. If it's important, put it in your calendar. If it's not there, you'll forget. I don't know what it's like in Brazil, Carlos, but there's definitely in Dubai a very last minute culture. And people here do not like to commit to anything in case they miss something else. So what they end up doing is missing everything because they forget to catch on.
I think we have some similarities with the Arabic like culture, and I think that's one of them. Like the Latin cultures like to improvise, things for the last minute. You know, planning is not something that is like rooted in our culture. And so what you're saying is really helpful. And that's one of the things that's trying, you know, to keep on teaching. And when I do mentoring, when I do coaching, it's just, if it's not in the plan, if it's not on the agenda, you just have like a pipe dream. It has to be there. And it's not like the target dates, how you do the work to reach that date and you actually do it and you actually complete. Because just having the target date is like, it scares you if you don't planning, you know, your block time to work on that, towards that goal. So this is really helpful. I mean, this, we could talk for hours here. I want to thank you for one thing. In 2016, when I saw your presentation and I asked for one question, and you probably don't remember this, but it was something related to how you reward people, how you thank people. And the answer that I gave, and you're just like, you know, raising hands, how you think you reward people. And I think one thing that I said, and you say that's when you come, that's when people are still working on the scarcity mentality. And that was really so profound to me. And I still think of this. And every time I realize that I make a decision and think I'm making a decision from abundance mentality or from scarcity mentality. And I think that was like a turning point for me in that presentation. So I don't think I ever told you. So I want to thank you for this. It was really very, it was a big impact on me. And I know that I'm still working on this. Because it's like a mindset that's rooted in some sort of belief when I was a kid or something. But I'm still working on this, and I want to thank you for this. I also want to thank you for your time and for your share your wisdom, your insights and recommendations. And whoever's, you know, watching this live on the replay or just listening, go after Phil's books. The only book I haven't read from Phil is the version that I tried to find, but I couldn't find the version from UAE, right? That's like the world's best known secret.
That's not on there. Yeah, there's a different version of that.
Yeah, and so I couldn't find that book, but the other books I have read, because the Rebel is amazing. I think I mentioned that before. I couldn't sleep. I had to finish the book page by page, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't stop reading because it's so nice. And all the other books on about the branding, I found it nice because I'm right now in the middle of like a business reset because of the pandemic and things that changed. My life changed, my personal life changed. So I'm like in a big reset now. And these two books, like the Seven Deadly Startup Tips and the branding, they were just like perfect timing for me. So really thank you for this. Before we part, could you just tell us a little bit about the training? What's the official launch date for the Seven Deadly Startup Scenes? And what is the major differential of this? Because we were talking very briefly before we start the transmission. So just tell us a little bit more about this, please.
Yeah, please. So I've got two courses that are going live now. Number one is the Seven Deadly Startup Scenes. And the other one, which is based on the book, and the other one is called The Millionaire Networker, which is based on Kiss the Rebel. Both courses were developed because people were reading the books and just going, oh my God, these are great, but now what? You know, what do I, you know, how do I apply this? And also I found a point that, you know, around the world people were saying this and I couldn't get to them. So what we've done is I've spent a lot of time putting all this knowledge onto some really high quality video, and we've developed a high quality training program, and they're both now accessible online. They're actually there, but what I'm doing is just tidying up the shop front, so to speak, and then they're going to be live literally in the next couple of days. So Carlos, I will make sure I let you know you have them so that you can share them with your audience as well, for now and forever. And by the way, both of the courses come with communities on the back as well. So as well as the course, you get to plug into my community where I'll be coming live once every couple of weeks to actually meet with people for questions as well.
Sweet. And how we can reach you? I'm going to share here for the people that are actually watching it. You have the LinkedIn, Phil Bedford. Just straightforward, you know, without, you know, commas or anything, just feel bad for it. But besides from LinkedIn that you're going to have here in the description of the podcast and the replay, how people can reach you? What's the best way people can connect to you? Is LinkedIn or other ways?
Yeah, LinkedIn's always good, but I acknowledge the fact that not everybody's on LinkedIn. So Facebook is also good. So you can reach out to me as Phil Bedford or the Rebel Networker and connect that way. What I would suggest, though, is if you do want to connect with me, I'd love that, but please just reference Carlos and the show. So I know it's not one of those weird spams from around the world, which we all love to hate. So please just mention the show or Carlos, and then I'd love to connect with you and start a relationship. So Facebook's good. I'm also on, so Facebook is Phil Bedford or the Rebel Networker. You can type either. Instagram, the Rebel Networker or Rebel Networker. Rebel Networker is a good one to connect with me there as well. And like I said, worst case scenario, if we really want to chat and nothing's working, drop Carlos, your man. Drop him a message. I'm sure he can connect us. He's a connector.
And absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Phil, for your time. And some final words that you want to leave as a message for Brazil or anybody that's having trouble with its business or his or business or want to go on business? What's your final message?
Well, my final message is how fantastic it is to be in Brazil. I've spent a bit of time there physically. It's been a long time since I've been. This is my first time to be there in business. And I say to you know, guys, you know, Brazilians have got this great warm culture. You know, you love to party. You got such a great global reputation. And you know what? I think in business and in relationships, that is a great way, a great, great place to start. So I think you've got all the makeup, and sometimes we just need a bit of process to help with that. So reach out to Carlos, he's your man. Stay in touch with his shows. He's doing a great thing here and he's taking it global. So how about we support him as well? And hope to stay in touch with you guys soon.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Você acaba de ouvir o podcast Líder de Elite. Aqui é Carlos Oios, o seu anfitrião. Não se esqueça de deixar a sua avaliação no iTunes e visitar o nosso site liderdeelite.com/podcast para mais novidades. Que você tenha uma vida e uma liderança extraordinárias.